Amen. I want to start with a story. A guy named W.A. Criswell, he told of this ambitious young man who went to his pastor and said, "Hey, I'm promising to start tithing. I'm ready to start this tithing thing, so would you pray for me because I'm ready to dive in." And so they prayed for God to bless this man's career. And at that time, he was making $40 a week. He was tithing when he started tithing, $4 a week. Well, the Lord began to answer this man's prayer and answer his faithfulness. And before long, just in a few years, his income was at a point where he was tithing $500 a week. I mean, that's huge. But the guy was struggling with this, and he came to the pastor one day, and he said, Pastor, do you think it's possible for me to be released from my promise to tithe because $500 a week is a lot of money?" Well, the pastor replied. He said, "I don't see how you can be released from your promise to the Lord on this, but we can ask God to reduce your income back to $40 a week so that you can once again return to $4 a week tithe." All right. Well, hey, let me just tell you this. If you're here for the first time, you've hit the jackpot. Because today, and today only, we are going to be talking about money. We're going to be talking about giving. We're going to be talking about tithing and all that kind of stuff. You hit the jackpot this morning. But here's the deal. It's not just that I'm going to be talking about it, because you don't really want to hear what I have to say about giving and money. What we want to hear is what Jesus has to say about giving. And Jesus has some things to say about giving. And remember this, that when Jesus talks, who listens? We listen. Because there's life in his words and in his ways. How many of you know money is a part of life? Yeah, come on. Let's wake up. Are you ready to wake up? Is money a part of life?
Yes.
It's a part of life. And money is a very powerful part of life, for either good or for bad. Money's gotten a lot of people in trouble, but it's done a lot of good also. And so in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses the heart of giving, and that's the title of today's message, the heart of giving. Turn with me. We are now in Matthew chapter 6. It took us 15, 16 weeks, but we went through chapter 5 together. How many of you enjoyed that? Matthew chapter 5, the first chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. Awesome. All right, now we're in the second chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus says this. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Wow. Verse 2, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do." Other words in the Greek to translate that, instead of hypocrites, are pretenders or actors. Don't be a pretender in the synagogues or on the streets, so that you can be honored by men. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, those who are pretenders and hypocrites, who do it for man's approval, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." And so Jesus is bringing us back to the heart of the matter. He did it in so many other ways already in his sermon. And now this is the heart of giving. And Jesus is going to direct us, what I'm finding here in Scripture today, he's directing us to three important principles regarding giving. Let's dive right into principle number one. Principle number one, and that is giving is good. And just to make sure that we're all on the same page, you're going to get to say that after me like you really know it and mean it and maybe have experienced it. So, giving is good.
Giving is good.
Amen. Amen. And if I see you starting to fall asleep when I'm talking about giving, I'll make you say other things about giving. And anyway, so notice this. Giving is good. Jesus says when you give this way. Jesus doesn't say if you give. He doesn't say if you get around to it. Jesus says when you give. Using our resources including our finances as a follower of Jesus, is not optional in the sight of Christ. Rather, it is just what we do. We give. It's like breathing. How many of you woke up this morning breathing? All right. Okay. Come on now. I got one hand up. All right. Okay. A few more than that. All right. All right. You woke up this morning breathing because that's just what you do, right? You wake up and you breathe. As a follower of Christ, we are born again and we wake up and we give. That's just what we do. It's like breathing. Those who have the heart of God, give. See, where do we get this new inclination and desire to give? We get it from the Father. What did the Father do? He so loved the world that he prayed for all us broken, horrible people. No. He so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He gave. And so we're his children. We learn from our Father. We follow in his footsteps. And so what do? We give. We give. Who do we give to, though? We give to those who have need, is what Jesus says. Give to those who have a need. You know that there are real people in the world with real needs. What's the biggest need that people have? Yeah. They need salvation, don't they? But we give. There are all kinds of other needs. Real people with real needs. And we're the church. We're the representatives of Christ on this earth. And we're the ones who give to real people with real needs. We give our time. We give our money. We give our food. We give our clothing. We give a helping hand. We give them a place to stay. We give them shelter, right? We give those who have need, we give to them because this is the heart of God and it's good. And I want to transition now and take this opportunity because how many times do you think I've talked about tithing here at Evident Life Church? My wife says twice. She's been here probably for every time I preach. Maybe a couple times I've let her sleep in, you know, but only a couple times. Only a couple times. We talk about tithing, tithes and offerings when we get to it in God's Word. When we come across it in the Word of God, as he's preaching about it, as he's teaching about it, we cover it. It's not something we focus on. But tithes and offerings, it's a way that we give as the body of Christ. It's a biblical command to participate in something that God created actually before the law. Giving. And not just giving to real people with real needs, but giving back to God, giving to the kingdom, giving to the one who's given us everything. Tithes and offerings. You know that back before the law, you had, who'd you have? You had Adam and Eve, right? Cain and Abel. Do you know that they gave to the Lord their first fruits, offerings to him? It was just like programmed in them. It was like, even before the fall, programmed in them just to be givers and to give back to God and to invest in what God was doing on this earth. Tithes and offerings, there are acknowledgement that we have all that we have and all that we've achieved because of God's goodness. Because of his mighty hand. Tithing and giving go directly together. They're both biblical. Tithing is an act of faith. It's indicating that God has been good to me in the past. He's good to me today, and he's going to be good to me tomorrow. Tithing is a form of giving. It's a form of investing. Investing. Investing is good. I'm thinking about the parable of talents, even right now as we're talking about this. You know, God encouraged, he rewarded those who invested what he gave them, who didn't hide it, who weren't afraid of it, who didn't hold on to it tightly, but who invested it, who trusted him enough to invest it. Anyway, the parable of talents, great parable. We won't go into that in detail. But tithing is an act of faith. How many of you know that tithing is an act of faith? How many of you experienced that tithing is an act of faith? How many of you have tithed when you didn't think it was going to be possible to make ends meet? Yeah, most of us in the room have been there and done that. Because tithing is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. What is tithing? I'm going to talk about that a bit here. It's giving our first tenth, the tithe, first tenth of our earnings, quote unquote, back to the Lord. I mean, some of the wording on all this tithing stuff is kind of weird, you know what I mean? Because everything, let's go back to again, everything we have is from Him. So it's like we're giving to God what He's given to us. I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's strange. But let's just get down to brass tacks here. What is tithing? Tithing is taking a part of our lives, which we talked about as an important part of our lives. It's just part of life, right? Money. Money can be very powerful. It is very powerful. It can be powerful for good. It can be powerful for bad. And it's taking this area of our lives that we're interacting with every single day, and we're putting it under His Lordship. And we're saying, this is not about us. This is all about You, and we will let nothing in our lives control us. And so we are making sure that we are aligning our lives, aligning our practices in a place where we are submitting everything to You, and we're acknowledging that everything is Yours, and that our breath is Yours, our finances are Yours, our children are Yours, everything we do in this life is Yours, and we recognize that, and we're not going to let money or anything else in this life take the place of You. Anyway, that's just what came out of my heart right now about tithing. That's kind of the place of tithing. Is it an obligation? Some would say yes, it is an obligation. But ultimately, as Jesus is saying, let's get back to the heart of giving. It's about submitting every area of our lives, including one that can freak us out, like money, and submitting it to God and saying, God, I trust You. I love You. It's all Yours. Let's roll. Do you believe God gave you life? Do you believe that God gave you breath today? Or was that something that you were able to create on your own? Did God give you breath today? He did. And just as you should use the breath and the life that God has given you today for His glory, we should use our finances for His glory. We should use every gift He's given us. To some in this room, He's given the gift of prophecy. Use it for the glory of God. The gift of healing, use it for the glory of God. The gift of, where's Arvid? The gift of creating things with your hands, that's a powerful, important gift when the temple was being built back in the day. Using those gifts for the glory of God to further what God is doing on this earth today. Whatever it is that we have, whether it's breath or gift or finances, we use it for the glory of God. And here's some good news. We all get to participate in this awesome thing called giving. And we all get to participate in this awesome thing called tithing. The reason is because it's not like we all have to, tithe isn't this. Tithe isn't like, hey, everybody in the church give $1,000 every week. By the way, if that happened, wow. Things we'd be able to do, wow. Okay, how many are going to commit to, no, I'm just kidding. We won't go there. Because we can all participate in tithing because it's not about some set dollar amount. It's not like everybody has to give the same and all that. That's not what it's about. It's simply a small portion of the blessing God has already given you to steward and giving it back and trusting God with it. Let me say it again. Tithing more than anything is trusting. It really is. I want to say this too about tithing and about this church and everything. You know, we have boxes at the back. We don't pass the plate and all that kind of stuff. It's just because that's what God told us to do in the very beginning. God said, it's never going to be about money for you, Eric. It's never going to be about money for Evan and Life Church. It's always just going to be about obedience. Just do what I tell you to do, and don't worry about the money. So we don't worry about the money, and God provides for all of our needs. The Evan and Life Church doesn't, you know, when I say this, don't stop tithing to Evident Life Church, you know what I'm saying? But Evident Life Church doesn't need your money, you know what I'm saying? This isn't about, you know, Evident Life Church. And let me tell you this, too. I don't get a commission if our tithes go up after this message, by the way, and our offerings go up. I get no commission on that. Back in the business days, Anyway, I would get commission. I don't get any commission on this. But I will tell you this. All of us get blessing when we give. Every single one of us. That's just the way it works, and we're going to look at that here in a little bit. A guy named J.D. Rockefeller. How many of you know who Rockefeller was? Most of you don't identify him as like this awesome Christian follower of Jesus guy. But he understood something here that we're talking about today. This is a guy who knew a little bit about money. Okay, he had a little bit of money to deal with. And he says this. He said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week. Even this guy Rockefeller understood the principle, the godly principle of tithing. C.S. Lewis once said, I don't believe one can settle on how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. But it's interesting how our flesh tries to wiggle out of what God has called us to do. We make up reasons. Some of them sound good. Reasons why we don't need to really follow God in obedience in a certain area. Maybe reasons why, let's just dive into this. Now it's funny. Water baptism. I was going to mention why water baptism isn't important. I mean, we'll come up with reasons of why we don't have to be water baptized, because it's just by faith, and that's not an important thing. By the way, we're going to have some water baptisms next week, and if you have not been water baptized, I strongly, strongly encourage you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, come on, let's get in the water. Let's be baptized into Christ Jesus. There's a teaching I do on it. There's a paper I've written on it. I want you to get a copy of that. I want you to read it, and I want you to get excited about water baptism, and don't get ripped off any longer by believing that it doesn't matter. Don't get ripped off any longer by that, okay? But we do. We try to wiggle out of things because it just doesn't seem convenient or comfortable. And so we're like, yeah, obedience. Why do that right now? It's just not, I have reasons why I don't have to follow God in that. I have reasons why I don't have to get in the tank and get water baptized. I have reasons why I don't need to eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, I got reasons. Today and tomorrow and the next day, we can come up and try to wiggle out of God's ways. And every day we can come up with reasons. But we're just getting ripped off. If you're wiggling out of anything God has called you to and coming up with reasons of why you're not going to walk in the ways of the Lord, you are getting ripped off. You are. And we're getting ripped off. And I'm not talking about money right now. I'm just talking about your giftings. I'm talking about your obedience. I'm talking about the ministry that God has called you to. I'm talking about the prayer that He's called you to pray. The gifting that He's put in you that you're holding back on giving back for His glory. And because of that, your gifting is stale, man. God has it for up here, and it's down here because you're holding back from giving it to the Lord and using it for His glory. I used to struggle with tithing big time. I need some help. Anybody else used to struggle with tithing? Come on, somebody help me. Thank you. I mean, I struggled big time with tithing. And this was back in the day when I was in business. And I was making some coin, man. I was making some money. I was struggling with tithing. I had plenty of money, but I was struggling with tithing. I had struggling with letting go. And the result of me not cooperating and coming into alignment and agreement with God's way was I was messed up inside, man. Money was consuming my thinking. I worried about money all the time. Do you worry about money? Are you tithing? Are you giving generously to others? See, I was worried about money, and I was making plenty of it. Yet I was concerned about finances and money and savings and retirement and 401ks and all of this kind of stuff. I'd stay up at night if you've been to the Find Your Fit class, which is next week after the service. If you'll hear my story. I would stay up at night with a financial calculator trying to figure out, am I going to be all right financially? How am I going to make $1 million? How's this all? Money consumed me. I was overcome by the spirit of mammon. And I wasn't a giver, and I wasn't a tither. I had no peace, a slave to money. But as soon as I submitted, out of obedience, I'd like to say it was out of this amazing rush of love of God that came over me, that just kind of opened me up and said, oh, everything I have, you know, oh, yeah, I just have this feeling to give. I just have this feeling to just, you know, empty my bank account right now. That wasn't it. It was, I read God's word and it said, give and tithe. And I said, I got to finally do this thing God's called me to do. And I got obedient. How many of you know obedience sometimes is hard? Yeah, it's hard, but it's good. As soon as I submitted this area of my life, like other areas, to the Lord, as soon as I started joyfully and generously giving my tithe and my offerings, the chains broke off of my life. The anxiety broke off of my life. The power of money broke off my life. I wasn't messing with that financial calculator anymore at night before I was going to bed. I was thinking on the Word of God and snuggling with my wife. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot better than having your head in a financial calculator worrying and thinking about money and all that kind of stuff. A peace came over my life. Out of what? Obedience. Out of just trusting God. It's just trusting God. And God has supplied all of my needs, folks. Every single one of them. Oh, I sold the cabin. Went into ministry full time. You want to talk about taking it to another level? Quit your career that you're successful in and go into ministry full time. Can't do that, by the way. If you're struggling with money and you're thinking about money all the time and money is controlling you, you'll never go where God is calling you to go if money is going to be holding you back. There's a guy called the Rich Young Ruler. Have you ever read that story in the Bible? Yeah, he couldn't follow Jesus and walk with him. He walked away sad because he couldn't let go of something that was just too important to him, money. And I'm not talking about everybody's supposed to give all their money away and do all of that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what God's called everybody to. Just give it all away, sell it all, and no. But I'm talking about money, not having that kind of control over your life and not holding you back. If you're one of those who says, I'm going to do that, I'm going to follow God in this when I'm retired, and when I've made this much money or my bank account looks this way or that way, stop it. Stop giving money that kind of power over your life to dictate your present and your future. That's wrong. Trust God. Trust God. I'm preaching a little bit here. Can y'all handle this word? All right. I'm preaching to myself. Been there, done that. Still preach to myself every single week, by the way, all right? I always tell you, you get to hear this once. I get to wrestle with this all week long. All week long. So deal with it this morning, folks. Principle number one, giving is good. Principle number two, God rewards those who give. We got a new clock up here. What time is it? It's 11:19. Okay, it's all different. They get fancy stuff right here. All right, it's 11:19. I got to get rolling. Principle number two, God rewards those who give. Verse 4 of Matthew 6, then your Father who sees what is done in secret, who sees your giving, who sees you giving from a heart, a right heart, a proper place, a place of obedience, a place of trust, what will he do? He will reward you. Now, let me say this before we move on. We do not give because we want to get. If you're giving because you're wanting to get, you have just missed the heart of giving. 100% missed it. You're being selfish. God doesn't like that. Right? But if you grab hold of God's heart to give and you walk in it, in obedience and in trust, Scripture says that the Father, the one who created all things, who owns all things, who has all things, he will reward you. Not your boss, not your paycheck. Creator, capital C, will reward you. Giving is directly tied to the biblical precept of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, verse 6. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. I wanted to start with verse 6. Why? Because it brings together giving and specifically feeding your spiritual leaders like me so I can eat, right? So it kind of ties the tithe and the giving all together. Anyway, so verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Somebody needs to hear that word. That's the main word you need to get today, right now. God cannot be mocked. You're not going to come up with some other way of living and some fancy little way of interpreting the word of God for your convenience. God cannot be mocked. He is who he is, says what he says. It's truth. It says a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, that's capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, that's God himself, from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, oh, but it hasn't happened yet. I've been faithful to the Lord and I'm still waiting. Yeah, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not what? Give up. If we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So it's the biblical principle of sowing and reaping. There are blessings. There's a harvest coming for those who give. And give for the right reasons. Not give to get, but give out of obedience and just out of love for God and others. Greatest commandment, love God. Second, like it, love others. Give vertically. Give horizontally. Give not to get. Give because of love. Give because of love. I want to read something from Robert Morris's book, The Blessed Life, about giving, the importance of it. And we may just need to end with this. But I think this is important. This is an amazing analogy. When I read it, it kind of floored me. You ready for this? It's page 63 and 64 of his book, by the way, if you have it. You want to write that note down. But he writes this, and this is just an analogy. It's an illustration. And the illustration goes like this. I have to go on an extended journey, and I choose three men for a special responsibility. I say to those three men, I'm going to send you each $10,000 every month. How many of you want to be one of those three men? Amen. Come on, make me one of those three men, right? $10,000 every month. You may keep $9,000 of the money and spend it as you please. But I want you to give $1,000 each month to my wife for the meeting of her needs. As promised, I send each of these men $10,000 monthly. After a few months, I call my wife. I ask her if she's receiving the support I had arranged. Her reply is, well, the first one's sending me $1,000 each month, just as you instructed. The second is actually sending $2,000 a month. I don't know why, but he is. But the third, he sent me $800 the first month, $300 the second, and nothing the third month. Now, as a husband who loves his wife with all his heart, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm the one providing the money to these men. I've told them they can keep $9,000 for himself. All I wanted them to do was give a mere 10% so that they could bring food into my house, Malachi 3:10. Well, the first man who was being faithful to follow my instructions, I'm going to continue sending him $10,000. Oh, yeah, every month, like clockwork. Bam, 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 $10,000. Enjoy the $9,000. Thank you very much, right? I added that, by the way. It wasn't in Robert's book here. I'm going to continue sending him $10,000 a month. But the third man, the one who wasn't satisfied with the 90% I graciously gave him, I'm going to quit sending him $10,000 a month and send it instead to the most generous one. Why? Because I can trust that second man. He has demonstrated that he cares about what I care about. He's a good steward. What the third man was doing was the same as stealing from me. Remember the verse, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me by doing what? How have you robbed me in my tithes and offerings? The illustration continues. Now let me bring this illustration home. Jesus has gone away for a season of time. He has said to each of us, I want you to take care of my bride, the church, while I'm away by giving 10% to my house. You can spend the remaining 90% as you desire. Those who obey will be blessed. Those who go above and beyond will be blessed even more. But those who refuse to do even the minimum, he's going to take away what they have and give it to someone who will be a good steward with it. I thought that was pretty direct. That's why I let Robert Morris share that with you and just read his words. But there's truth in that. We looked at the parable of the talents. We talked about that briefly, right? There's truth in that. There's biblical truth in this. And again, it's not about giving to get, and it's not about giving the church money just to give the church money. It's not about any of that kind of stuff, and I hope everybody in here understands that. It's about taking what God has given us and using it the way he wants us to use it. That's it, period. It's just about following the Lord and doing things his way, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's uncomfortable, just following the Lord and doing things his way. When we do things God's way in our giving, God is saying he's going to pour down his blessings. It says that in Deuteronomy 15:10. I'm not going to have time to go into that. I do want to say this, though, before we get closing out here soon. This church is filled with people who understand this, who have the heart of giving. So I'm preaching to the choir. I really am, and I love preaching to the choir. I love preaching to myself and my wife. She doesn't always like me preaching to her, but I do anyway. But anyway, I'm preaching to the choir here. This church is so giving. Let me tell you a little bit about this church. This church, before we had a building to meet in, we were just meeting in the library. This church gave money to plant a church in Africa and build a building for them in Africa way back in 2009, 2010. And then the Lord gave us a place to meet, our own place here. Before we owned our own chairs, these chairs that you're sitting in right now, we purchased hundreds of chairs for a church in Ghana, Africa. And then you know what happened? The Lord had somebody outside of our church give money so that we could have our own nice new chairs. How about that? Before we had this building and a playground out in front of it, we built a playground for a Christian school over in Ghana, Africa. Fully equipped. Restrooms. We just had one of our restrooms redone. Women, we're going to get to your restroom next. We practiced on the men's room first so that we could get it right. And then when we go to the ladies' room, man, we don't want to make any mistakes. We want to get it just right, fast, get her done, right? Practice on the men's room. Okay. We built restrooms, like modern restrooms with a septic system, for the Christian school over in Ghana, Africa. Do you know this building we have here? You know what the first thing and the most exciting thing about getting this building when we had our own building is that we would be able, because now we own the building and we're not renting and we're not just tenants in somebody else's building, we can actually do what we want to. You know the first thing we wanted to do? We wanted to house the homeless here on Friday nights. That's the first thing that we want. That was the biggest motivation about getting this building, this facility right here in downtown Gilbert. That's a heart of giving. And it's going on and on and on and on. I'm preaching to the giving choir right here. And I'm so blessed to be part of a church that understands and has God's heart for giving. It's phenomenal. And finally, the way we give matters. God's heart of giving involves humility. God's heart of giving is others' focus, and God's heart of giving has eternal perspective. I want to end with a story. It was in Chaplin magazine. Charles Spurgeon and his wife would sell but refuse to give away the eggs their chickens laid. Even close relatives were told, you have to pay for them. Got to pay for the eggs. We're not going to give you the eggs. You need to pay for the eggs. As a result, some people labeled the Spurgeons greedy. Just all about getting the money for the egg. Can't give it away. Got to have the money for the egg. The Spurgeons accepted the criticism without defending themselves. And only after Mrs. Spurgeon died was the full story revealed. See, all the profits from the sale of the eggs went to support two elderly widows. Because the Spurgeons were unwilling to let their left hand know what their right hand was doing, they endured these wrong attacks in silence. How we give and why we give matters. The heart of giving, not for what we get, not for how we look, please, not for how we look. I don't look at your giving. So if you're ever trying to impress me, it doesn't impress me because I don't look at any of that stuff. I really don't. I got people who do that, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, but we don't look at that. It's you and the Lord, man. We don't want to rob you of anything that God has for you in your giving. It's between you and God. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And I wanted to use that passage because in no way are we saying that we should never let people see us do anything good. Giving, that's one thing, right? We see in Matthew 6. But it's okay if people see you do good things in this life. In fact, it'll cause people to look towards Jesus if you're doing your good things out in public for the right reasons. It's the heart of giving. So it's with great joy and great humility that I get a pastor, a church of givers.